The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom Fairbanks. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the Buckmaster Show on this Tuesday. It's May the 19th. 2020. We're practicing, of course, safe distancing as I sit here all alone in the spacious Green Thing Zocalo Village Studios. Well, I'm not entirely alone. I can see Tom on the other side of the glass.
You can look, but you cannot touch.
Yes, it's a no-touch environment, right? Anyway, we're on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. We piggyback with kvoi.com to give you the live stream. All of our podcasts available 24/7 on my website, buckmastershow.com. We've got, we're building now 10 years worth of programs there on the website. Live line number 790-2040. Let's go now on the live line. Amalia Luxardo. Dr. Luxardo is the CEO of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, joining us now on the live line. Dr. Luxardo, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
Doing real well. Tell me a little bit about the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona.
Sure. So we've been around for nearly 30 years now. Our primary function historically has been to fund organizations using a gender lens that primarily work with women and girls. And since then, we've stepped our toes into, or rather have dove in into the pool of sharks with advocacy work that we're really, really proud of. We're the only organization in Arizona that actually advocates for women and girls at the Capitol. And then we also have leadership development programs. One of them is most notable, our Unidas program. It's an after-school program for young women where they choose a social justice issue that has an impact on women and girls. They go through the philanthropic process of vetting nonprofit organizations, and then they get to grant $5,000 each semester to the organization that best fits that need.
I'm looking at these numbers from Pima County on COVID-19. The percentage of cases, 56% are women, 44% are men. So obviously the impact of COVID-19 on women, at least in this county, is different and very notable, isn't it?
Right. Yeah, I know that across the nation, across the board, really, it has been men that I've been seeing that have been impacted, infected, really, by COVID-19. And but I also know that women are largely at the front line, and I suspect that that's what's happening here in Pima County. A lot of our nurses, a lot of our grocery workers, these essential workers that we're really depending on now are women. And so I can imagine, I suspect that that's what's really happening here and why we're seeing such a higher number here in Pima County.
How is your organization, the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, how are you responding to the COVID-19 crisis, Dr. Luxardo?
We've tried to remain nimble and really respond to the community need, of course, always with gender equity at the forefront, really keeping our pulse on what our community partners, particularly our nonprofit partners, really need. And so what we've done as of late is, you know, some of the things that we've been seeing with nonprofit organizations is that they were not able to work remotely, even though that those were recommendations, because they didn't have it in their budget to get the hardware, to get laptops so that staff can work from home. And so we've recently distributed technology grants to these nonprofit organizations. About 39 laptops went out to staff across Southern Arizona so that they can continue to do the important work that they do, but do it from a safe distance, as we're all doing. I mean, I heard you earlier, you can see, but you can't touch, right?
Yes, I can see my buddy on the other side of the glass here, Tom. Thank goodness I can see Tom, because it It is very different doing this radio program all telephonically. I'm a people person, and I like to see people across the table from me, so I've had to adapt like everybody else, Amalia.
Right. Yeah. So that's one of the things that we've been able to facilitate. One of the other things that we've done is a Super Shiro project, where we've essentially been interviewing our nonprofit partners and community leaders, women, of course, to share information and to celebrate what's been done in the community. Right now, we've interviewed over 20 community leaders, and if people want to find out more about the nonprofit organizations that we worked with, all of those videos are on our website. Shameless plug, womengiving.org/supershiro. And the other thing that we've been able to do is position ourselves as pseudo consultants, because we know the community, because we know what's going on with women and girls, not only in Southern Arizona, but really across the state. And so when all of these COVID relief funds have come up, we've been part of that conversation, whether it's part of a panel or, you know, just sort of an advisory role on what's going on the ground. We've been able to position ourselves in that way so that we're able to provide the information that funders outside of ourselves need to know as far as women and girls go.
I'm sure your organization, like so many others, is looking at what's life going to be like, hopefully very soon, on the other side of this pandemic. And it's been very difficult for the nonprofit sector, hasn't it?
Yes. that is a very loaded comment.
Yes, an understatement, probably.
Yeah. it's been incredibly difficult because there's always been inequities that existed, not only for women, but for people of color in general. And that has only been exacerbated by COVID-19. And as leaders in the nonprofit community, we want to respond with real community need. What we're hoping for at the end of all of this, and we don't know when that is, what that is, you know, it could look really, really different depending on who you're asking. But what we're really hoping for is collaboration. I've seen our community in particular rise and band together, and that's really, really exciting. And so now that we have all of these collaborative efforts going on, I'd really like to have the conversation of how we can change the systems that have been broken and have resulted in an uneven playing field, and how can we do things better, because going back to normal doesn't work. It hasn't worked for a lot of people for a really long time. And so, sort of at the end of the tunnel is being able to be part of those conversations on how we can change things for the better, and really listening and reacting to the community need.
I think this will very much help you and your cause as far as the gender equity issue concerning pay. We're looking at these, you mentioned that the frontline workers, so many times these are women, and they're being very hard hit by COVID-19. I think people are going to have, and already do have, a new appreciation for the people that work in the grocery stores, that deliver our things. And it's just a whole new outlook we have.
Yes. And I hope that we don't forget about this. I feel like in a time of crisis, everybody is really involved in what's going on. And, people say that we won't forget, but as time goes on, sometimes a little bit of that goes away. I certainly know outside of those essential workers, I have a newfound appreciation for my son's teachers. I have a school-age son. He's 6. He was in kindergarten. And, while I'm doing my best here at home, I can't imagine what these parents, how parents are managing with 2 or 3 children and managing that full time, in addition to work and the stress of what we just talked about, of maybe not working and then having to figure out everything else, rent, utilities, groceries, and then also keeping their family going by way of education. So, yes, I hope at the end of this, people don't forget and remember that you know, we talk about going back to business as usual, but I don't think that that's going to be the case, nor that it should be the case.
Before we go, what about this movie premiere?
Oh, sure. There is a movie premiering on HBO May 27th on the record. I am not going to tease too much about it because I want folks to come in and see. It's one of the movies that that we were able to fund in partnership with another local family foundation. But we are really, really excited about it. We're going to be sending out emails with save the dates and all of the information this week, and we'll have an event posted on Facebook. But if you are able to join us, again, this talks about the inequities that women have been faced with for a really, really long time, and even more so with a racial lens as well. And we're really, really excited and proud to be part of this effort. And so if everyone is available May 27th around 6:30 in the evening to watch On the Record with us, we'd love it if people can join us.
Amalia Luxardo, Dr. Luxardo, CEO, Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona. Before we go real quickly, what is your website?
www.womengiving, womengiving.org.
All the best to you. Please stay safe. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. You too, Bill.
Thank you. That was Dr. Amalia Luxardo, CEO, Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona. I'm still thinking about that piece of carrot cake, Tom Fairbanks, that I had last night for dessert from Mona's Danish Bakery. My goodness. Steve, owner and chief baker, is once again making the carrot cake, and that's always been one of my favorites. Of course, I love the peanut butter cookies, too, but boy, that was good to have last night. Tom, you know that Mona's Danish Bakery is home of the Danish Kringle, and everybody's talking about comfort food, and a Kringle certainly fits in that category. Would you like a nice big slice right now to go with your after?
Well, of course, but you also have my mouth watering all over that
carrot cake. Sure. But the piece of the Kringle would do very nicely for your post-Buckmaster show kind of lunch and dessert.
That's true.
With a cup of coffee.
Yeah, a little coffee, you bet.
Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. They are open right now. You can walk into the bakery. You can dine. Yeah, there's the limited social distancing thing going on in the bakery, or plenty of room outside on the patio. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Check it out, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. Shelley Fishman coming up next, right after this. Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Vero Amore Restaurant in Plaza Palomino at Fort Lowland Swan and Dove Mountain in Marana are now open for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Vero Amore menu items, including Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, are ready for you and your friends and family. More at VeroAmorePizza.com.
It's easy being green. Promote wind, install solar, drive electric cars, ban mining. Wait a minute! You can't ban mining! Green is good, but hey, no can do without the metals green products need from mining. If you ban mining, you'll ban everything green. And today's minds are on board, researching technologies that provide critical materials for a greener world. Being Green, another miracle from mining. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
And let's welcome now telephonically our friend Shelley Fishman. How are you today, Shelley?
I am well, Bill. I hope you guys are doing just fine as well.
Yeah, we do. We miss seeing you down here, Shelley, but for the time being, we're going to have to continue it doing, for everybody's sake, doing our social distancing. We opened the program today with the CEO of the Women's Foundation of Southern Arizona, and she brought up the fact that, you know, maybe one of the positive things that could come out of this is really putting new focus, Shelley Fishman, on gender income disparity. So many of these frontline workers that really are putting their lives on the line, Shelley, are women.
Sure. Dr. Luxardo, I think, got it exactly right when she talked about the fact that we're never going back to the way it was.
Right.
And then she was, I think, hopefully suggesting that some of the economic disparities, some of the fundamental economic problems that this country has had to deal with over the past 30 or 40 years have been exposed by this pandemic in a way that we never could have guessed. And that exposure, I think, has gone a long way toward getting people who you would not normally consider to take positions that are, you know, this socially conscious or maybe leftist, to think seriously about it. I remember just a couple of days ago, I read that Mark Cuban, of all people, is talking about families getting $1,000 in stimulus checks every 2 weeks. That sounds an awful lot like Andrew Yang's guaranteed income of $2,000 per month for each American. I mean, these are very progressive, in many ways European-oriented ideas that are now getting discussed here in this country in areas and with some certainty that I think is taking a lot of people by surprise.
One idea, and we've talked about actually this for several years now, Shelley Fishman, and it is getting more and more traction, the idea of national service.
Oh, yes, one of my favorite subjects.
I know.
National service provides so many solutions to so many problems. Right now, we will have, as this epidemic, as we begin to climb out of the epidemic economically, we're going to have probably 10 million young people who are either going to have lost their job or will be looking for new jobs, and they are not necessarily well trained in the kinds of jobs that are available in today's economy. And national service gives us the opportunity, first of all, to employ these people. You can think of any number of things in terms of just doing things in nature and conservancy, and doing things to help build or rebuild our infrastructure, but also we're going to need several hundred thousand workers to do infection tracing so that once we know a person is infected and has been infected and we can do the testing, we can then trace all of the contacts that person may have had so that we can then test those people. That's going to take several hundred thousand people. We don't know where we're going to get them, but through a national service program, they're there for us. We can pay them federally. And at the same time, during this process, help them get educated and help them find their way toward full-time careers.
And probably not in our modern history has there been such a focus, Shelley Fishman, on America's healthcare system.
Oh, gosh. Well, we've been talking about this as one of the fundamental things that's broken about the economy. We spend about 19% of our gross domestic product on healthcare, and yet a sizable portion of the people who live here do not have either sufficient health care insurance or any health care insurance at all. And what this pandemic has done is just laid bare that problem such that we now understand that we've got to, at least for the purposes of the pandemic, begin to fix some of these problems. So now, you know, we're talking about a vaccine to prevent people getting this virus, but we don't talk too much about what the cost of that vaccine will be and who's going to pay it. But more and more, we now hear some national leaders talking about the fact that that vaccine should be provided for free to anybody in this country who wants it. Now, the mechanism for making that happen is something that, you know, is going to take a lot of discussion and debate. But clearly, if we're going to vaccinate more than 350 million people, that is going to take a significant investment on the part of the government. And that's being seriously discussed right now.
You know, that is a huge undertaking, isn't it, when you're thinking about that? And I'm kind of reflecting back to my childhood days to when all of us as kids got the polio vaccine.
Oh, absolutely.
But the difference here is we're talking that was for young people pretty much only getting that. We're talking now about everybody needing this vaccine in the country.
In the country and in the world.
So in the world,
about 7 billion with a B doses that need to be provided very often to countries that can't afford it. We have companies that are developing this vaccine now, using a profit motive to invest the time and financial resources they need to do it. They're going to have to be compensated for that. Now, you know, I think there should be some limits on how much money they can expect to make as a result of this. However, they, you know, they're not, I'm going to use a $500 million word, eleemosynary organizations. They're for-profit organizations. They're not nonprofits. And as a result, they should expect and have a right to expect some compensation for all of that work, some return on their investment. Somebody's got to pay for that, Bill. And I believe that's something that our federal government needs to take into account as they talk about, number one, investing in phase 4 and 5 and 6 and however many phases it's going to require to get through this, but also as they consider the broken healthcare system that we have today and how we make sure that people who either can't afford treatment or can hardly afford treatment get that treatment regardless.
You know, looking ahead, and I've got less than 2 minutes, but you could see if a vaccine, and of course the market really moved dramatically yesterday on the news, that we could see some early vaccine production in the fall. You could see both presidential candidates probably getting on board, I would think, on the government picking up the cost of the vaccine. I'm just speculating on that.
I would certainly hope so.
Yeah.
I believe that in an interview earlier in the week, or it is, well, at the end of last week, Vice President Biden just answered that question with a firm yes.
Yeah.
I don't know where President Trump is on it. The way to get to that solution might be different for each one of those guys, but so long as they get to that solution. But, Bill, it's not just the vaccine. It's how do you pay for all of the, you know, we have now more than 90,000 deaths.
Yes.
And more than I think it's 600,000 people who've been infected. I may be wrong about that. It's more than a million people who've been infected. They're getting treatment. That treatment has to be paid for. And those bills haven't come due yet. We have, you know, potentially by the time this is over, we could have 20 or 30 million people having received treatment for this disease with no real way of knowing how much it's going to cost to treat or having any choice in the matter. You know, there's lots of things you can say, well, I'm not going to fill that cavity, or, you know, I'm not going to have that, you know, that particular treatment. But when you're sick like this with something like COVID-19, you have no choice. You've got to go for treatment.
All right, Shelley Fishman, good discussion as usual. Shelley, thank you very much. Stay safe, my friend.
Thank you, Bill. Have a good one.
Thanks a lot.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
If it can't be grown, then it must be mined. Because without minerals, you never find your phones, your cars, your solar panels, or your smart TVs with your favorite channels. Hospitals, schools, and public facilities result from mining's vast abilities. Dividends, taxes, and high-paid employment come from mining for your enjoyment. Brought to you by the Southern Arizona Business Coalition.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is once again welcoming guests to the gallery. Stop by or call ahead for a one-on-one appointment or even a virtual design session. Come by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, located at the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge. The number is 795-8226 and on the web at moesgallery.com. As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Noble Hops in Oro Valley is now open to welcome guests for limited in-restaurant and patio dining, along with takeout and home delivery. All of your favorite Noble Hops menu items are available for you, your family, and friends. So check out Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and on the web at noblehopspub.com.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. Green Things, 50 years and still growing. Yes, they have all of your plants that you need for your gardening. And so many people taking up gardening these days. 13 acres of amazing plants, trees, annuals, and more. They're open daily. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. The website, greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Lots of beautiful things over at Green Things. It's time for our 2020 Your Vote, Your Voice candidate interview series here on 1030 The Voice. Today we focus on Pima County Supervisorial Race, District Number 2, Democrat Dr. Matt Hines, who has been an attending physician at University Medical Center since 2003. Elected to the Arizona State House in 2008, Matt served two terms and was chosen by his Democratic colleagues to serve as caucus whip. Matt is the former director for provider outreach in the Office of the Secretary of U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. He joins us now on the live line. Dr. Hines, how are you, sir?
I'm great. Thanks for having me, Bill.
Tell me a little bit about why you decided to get into the supervisorial race, going up against primary opponent incumbent Ramon Valadez.
Sure. And I have to say this was a late decision for me and one that I wasn't initially even really expecting to make or to consider for this cycle, but in light of the tremendous failings and just the lack of coordinated response to the viral pandemic that we in the healthcare system started to see evidence of in as early as early February, that really motivated me to take another look at how I could be of help. And honestly, it falls to the counties. It does. Our local public health departments are really kind of our last defense when you have the federal government and our state not necessarily helping to make sure that health professionals have the PPE they need or to have a coordinated response of any kind. We really have to have, I think, medical expertise and input at the county level going forward, because this is really not going to be leaving us anytime soon, and that really made the decision for me.
How, if you had been on the board when all of this started to develop and the warning signs were there, perhaps as early as January, could you have thrown up the red flag on the Pima County Board of Supervisors and said, we need to jump into this right now?
I don't know that I would have been able to. I don't want to say I could have predicted anything like that at that point. I think what I could definitely say is that having been involved in the Obama administration in the health department during the Ebola pandemic, things just worked a lot differently. And in seeing that, I honestly, were I on the board, I would never have expected such a colossal failure at the federal level to not take this seriously, to not aggressively pursue the testing, and to really get those kinds of resources out there to the states and to the counties. I mean, just one of the first cases I came across in first week of February, a suspected case of then we were calling it novel coronavirus because we didn't even have COVID-19 as a name at that point, really solidified that for me, because we couldn't get a test approved by the local county health department because they didn't have any. And the state health department said, also, this looks like a great case to test, but we didn't have any tests at the state level. We were sending tests to the CDC. And at that point, I really figured that this is, we really need some reinforcements here. We need to start paying more attention to this at every level, not just the federal one.
Dr. Matt Hines with us on the Buckmaster Show. And Dr. Hines is a candidate for Pima County Supervisor in District 2. Besides healthcare on your platform, what else is on the agenda, Dr. Hines?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that in this case, just because of the we're seeing so many families adversely impacted at a on a personal, family, economic level. And just having the stay-at-home order for as long as we did, and then probably looking at significant long-term economic effects in terms of just income and job situation for so many families, I think it's important to be able to, from the county perspective, do what we can to support those who are impacted as a result of the pandemic, and economically make sure that folks have what they need and have the resources they need to move forward and get what they need for their families. Also, I think it's important to make sure to continue what I think we've done so well in Southern Arizona and in Pima County, and it's to do all of these things, keeping an eye toward cleaner and greener economy, which is also, of course, a way that we can work toward job growth in the future to help bring us out of this.
This is a difficult situation. It's like really nothing we've ever seen before, Dr. Hines, as far as campaigning in this environment of social distance.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, trying to do a political campaign in the middle of the social distancing world. How are you approaching it?
Yeah, that's a great question, and something that I've talked about and thought about a lot and discussed with my own team. You know, certainly we can't be just running house to house and knocking on doors and encouraging people to have face-to-face interactions within 6 feet potentially. That wouldn't be appropriate or consistent with social distancing. So a lot of the work is going to be phone. I know that people don't always like getting phone calls, but I'm along with my team of volunteers, we're focusing on doing a lot of check-ins with likely voters, and kind of just, you know, it's not very heavy on the election side of things, but it's at least initially kind of a wellness check as well. You know, how are you doing? Do you need anything? Is, you know, anything we can help get to you, or any resources or information we can provide to you, as well as a reminder about the upcoming election. So trying to expand beyond just, you know, are you going to vote on August 4th? There's an election coming up. I'm running for this. Trying to make it more of a kind of a community wellness check and beyond the typical political, sort of motive.
People do know you. You have the name recognition from a run for Congress and then your time in the state legislature. So getting a call from you probably, wouldn't be that unusual, but people might find it unusual that you're even running.
Right. Yeah. I think that might be the case. Yeah. I think that this cycle is very different for not just me, but I think for most campaigns. I can't imagine any campaign encouraging volunteers to go door to door in this kind of climate, and we're certainly not having, you know, physical in-person house parties and you know, events like that. That's just not something any of us can do right now.
How are things going at the hospital at TMC?
Very well. We're of course, you know, there was a burst of activity, and there still are suspected and confirmed COVID-19 patients there. They very quickly dedicated particular areas to have our COVID-19 cases or suspected cases separate from other parts of the hospital for everybody's protection. The personal protective equipment, especially those N95 masks, we are still able to provide those to our nursing staff and doctors there, which is great. So all that's, you know, things are stable, I would say. So there's still cases, but not the kinds of numbers we were seeing maybe a few weeks ago. So good. And
yes.
Now they're doing more elective surgeries. So those are starting to increase the numbers of folks in hospital for procedures. Elective surgeries had been suspended, as you know, for a number
of
weeks.
Well, those are all positive signs. Dr. Matt Hines, thank you. Where can people find out more about your run for Pima County Supervisor?
Check out the website, hinesforsupervisor.com. That's H-E-I-N-Z for supervisor.com.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you, Bill.
Matt Hines running for Pima County Supervisor as a Democrat in District Number 2. It's the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Have you noticed our air quality is a lot better? Let's get an update in a few moments from Beth Gorman, but right now we take a break on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studios. We'll be right back.
Here at Bon Voyage Travel, we encourage you to keep the travel spark alive by exploring the world through our weekly webinar series that includes inspiration and insight from some of the top leaders in the travel industry. When you're ready to plan your next adventure, know that Bon Voyage Travel will be here to advise and assist. Join us every Wednesday at 3 p.m. for a new virtual destination discovery. While we're apart, let's keep dreaming together. Visit bvtravel.com for more information.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. When you're ready to travel, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, our friends over there will welcome you with open arms. And it's only a 3-hour drive. Everybody's got cabin fever right now, and they are ready to hit the road. I can't believe Memorial Day is coming up Monday. I mean, where in the world, the time, it's like first it was March and then now it's the end of May. So anyway, we certainly hope you'll take that 3-hour drive over to Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, and so much to do over there, including hiking in the Gila National Wilderness, all sorts of attractions that give you plenty of social distancing. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for places to stay and things to do. Let's welcome now on the Buckmaster Show live line, Beth Gorman, Senior Program Manager, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Doing well. Boy, you could really tell a difference in March and April with so little traffic on the roads. The Catalinas just kind of popped out at you. But boy, things are changing.
Oh, I know. And wasn't it wonderful? It was
yes.
Just beautiful. We did see some declines in air pollution during that time frame. And then Yeah, our ozone season begins this time of the year, and the first week of May, bang, we had our very first exceedance of the EPA health standard, and that was on May 5th. But I was just so curious as to why that would happen, and so I called my friend over at the National Weather Service, and I asked if he could look at some of the patterns of air quality up in the atmosphere. And he did an investigation, and he said that he believes that it's very possible that some of that ozone came down from the Phoenix area. Mm. So it wasn't all our fault.
Well,
don't we love to blame Phoenix for things?
I think we can quickly jump on the bandwagon on that one and blame our friends up in the Valley of the Sun. What's
right.
going on, though? When people hear ozone, they think, oh, my goodness, Beth, this is about a deterioration of our ozone layer.
I know, but there's that confusion. And, of course, the ozone layer protects us, far above our planet, protects us from the intense solar radiation. But when we talk about ground-level ozone, it's an air pollutant that's formed. It's very, very complicated. It's formed by a couple of different pollutants that combine together in the presence of strong sunlight and then also stagnant air. So it depends on the weather a lot, and then also the wind direction. And as I mentioned, we can get transport of that pollutant from other areas, which we think is what happened on May 5th. But it's a pollutant that it's very complicated to figure out when it's going to be bad. But we do get forecasts down from the state. They have meteorologists that help us with forecasting. And so people can go on our website, and they can also go and sign up to receive these forecasts, because ozone is definitely something that some people are very sensitive to.
Can we see it?
No, it's not a visible pollutant. It's,
wow.
It's invisible, and at the levels that we have, you really can't see it. I think people have said that over in L.A., sometimes there's kind of a bluish tinge to it when it's really, really high levels of ozone. But in general, no, it's invisible. And so that even makes it scarier. So it's good to be able to go on our website to see what the levels are if you are sensitive to it.
Are there some simple things we could do to avoid it or put a dent in it?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we can do. As I mentioned, it's really complicated. The ingredients for ground-level ozone come from a lot of different sources. But one of the things that we can do is control the amount of driving that we do. So if we can try to maybe continue some of the habits that we had when we were staying home more and combine our trips into one trip, that might help. If we've been able to telecommute, to telework, maybe your workplace would allow you to continue doing that so you don't have to commute to work every day. Maybe once or twice a week you could get permission to continue to telework. And the other thing is to avoid idling. That's a biggie this time of year. It's a little bit hard because it's getting so hot that we don't want to sit in a hot car. But think about if you can possibly reduce the amount of idling that you do. And also refueling in the evening will help, because those fumes, those gasoline fumes, are one of the ingredients for ground-level ozone. And then keep your tires properly inflated. And then also try to avoid using the gasoline-powered lawn and garden equipment on the days when it's looking like it's going to be high levels of ozone.
Speaking of, don't you still have that emissions reduction program concerning the lawn and garden equipment?
We do, yeah. Thanks for mentioning that. We had it on hold for a little while because of the stay-at-home order, but it's starting back up again, and people can turn in their gas-powered either lawnmowers or other equipment like string trimmers or leaf blowers and get vouchers towards the purchase of electric or battery-operated landscaping equipment. And the state gave us money to provide those vouchers because those little engines are highly polluting, those little gas-powered engines.
Of course, the wildfire season is upon us, and people will be getting out again as the stay-at-home orders are lifted. So we've got to keep our fingers crossed there, Beth Gorman.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we've been lucky recently, but boy, those fires can be really devastating. And obviously it affects air quality if there's smoke coming into the valley. And we don't have monitors on every corner. So we ask people to kind of pay attention. And if they smell smoke, it's, you know, they're breathing it, they're taking it into their body. So they want to try to avoid that, especially if they are really sensitive. And, you know, one of the ways that you can tell if it's smoky is visibility. And you mentioned earlier about the clear mountain views. Well, you know, if they become obscured, that could be that there's a wildfire in the area and that smoke could be affecting you.
Do you think some people are still burning vegetation on their property, Beth?
Well, that's permissible under certain conditions. So, you know, another way to prevent a fire and a wildfire, especially as something from escaping from your property, would be to get what's called a burn permit, an open burning permit. And you can check with your fire department if you need to burn some vegetation, or even check with our department to see if you need a special permit for that. And then in the process, you'll learn safety requirements and guidelines to help prevent the fire from causing problems.
I'm hearing more and more people getting into bicycling. That might be one of the things, silver lining items coming out of all of this. People taking up bicycling like never before, Beth Gorman.
I know, and what a perfect way, and especially in the mornings, and that's the best time to get out because that's when air quality is really good, is in the mornings. And I understand that there's been an increase in traffic on the loop pathway, and it's great for people to get out and start exercising. And then especially if it gets to replace a vehicle trip, that's going to keep our air healthy for everybody to breathe.
All right, Beth, I'm going to wrap it up. And you mentioned we can't see ozone, but we can see the dust. And I hate that when the wind blows. Today it's supposed to be up to 30-mile-an-hour winds, and that's something that it's pretty hard for us to control, isn't it, the dust?
It is, you know, but if you have vacant land, just make sure it doesn't get disturbed, or, you know, if it does, then it needs to be treated with either gravel or dust suppressant or water just to keep it down. But if you're in an area where land has been disturbed and you are sensitive, it'd be good to stay inside if it's getting really windy.
All right, Beth, it's always a pleasure talking to you. There's a wealth of information on your website, right?
Yes, two different ones. You can go to pima.gov/DEQ, or you can also go to our other website, which is pima.gov/healthy air.
Okay, Beth, stay safe.
Thanks, Bill. You too. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Beth Gorman, Senior Program Manager, Pima County Department of Environmental Quality. We always love checking in with Beth at least once a quarter here on the Buckmaster Show for an air quality update. Air quality, of course, so important. You really could tell a difference, couldn't you, with so little traffic in March and April. Those mountains just really popped out at you. It's really pretty to see. Anyway, that's it for the Buckmaster Show. Thanks, Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing. It's always fun to listen to hear Dave Ramsey, his opening commentary coming up. He has always an interesting take on your money and how to perhaps save it and grow it. Have a great afternoon, everyone.